Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
And I want to share with you what communion is about. I want to talk to you about, from the Word of God, what it really means and how healing is a part of celebrating communion. I'm going to teach some to you out of my heart. And then we're going to go right into communion together. Then we're going to worship God at the end of the service. We're going to wait on God. We're going to wait on the presence of the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself. How many of you know there's wonderful things God wants to do in our life? There really is. And He's been dealing with me more and more as a pastor that in my heart, I'm just telling you what He's speaking to my heart, is, son, I want to do so much more than what you're seeing. And so you need to give me opportunity. You need to wait on me and you need to prepare to let me just have my way. And, you know, we try to be as prepared as we can. And our team does an amazing job. But as the pastor, my preparation's a little bit different. And God's dealing with me to prepare differently, to wait on Him and to hunger for the move and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You see, so much of Christianity, if you take the power of the Holy Spirit out of Christianity, it becomes a dead letter. Now, I'm not talking about weirdness. How many of you know people can take things and just be weird? But, you know, mainly that's not the Bible. That's just because people can be weird. Anybody, any weirdness in you? Okay, ask your spouse, any weirdness in me? Yeah, you'll get an honest answer that way. Okay, so turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Paul wrote these words. Now remember, Paul was not there at the Last Supper. He received this by revelation. Jesus taught him this face to face after the resurrection, after the ascension, through a divine visitation. How many of you know that's a way to get taught? Having Jesus take you to heaven, sit you down and teach you. So Paul's about to tell you what Jesus said about communion. And he said, for I've received from the Lord that which I now deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So what's one thing that happens during communion? What are you saying? I'm proclaiming Jesus died for me. How many of you know that's a really important thing to know as an individual? He died for me. He died for the church. He died for the world. And then, and how long? We proclaim this is death till he returns. How many of you know he's coming back? So communion is a time where you recognize that he died for you. Communion also is a time when you realize he's coming again. How many of you know he's returning? Now people say, I don't believe that. Hide and watch. He's coming. Verse 27, therefore, now he's talking about those receiving communion. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. He didn't say whoever drinks this and they're not worthy. How are you worthy to receive communion? Who made you worthy? So you're worthy because he made you worthy. That's not what he's talking about. He said, those of you who do this in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner will eat and drink judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, what reason? Not discerning the Lord's body. Many of you are weak and sick, and many sleep, or many have died prematurely. Now, when the Bible says, for this cause, people are weak, sick, and die young, this is not the only reason this happens. In fact, the Bible doesn't tell us all the reasons these things happen to people. But when the Bible stops and Paul is saying, Jesus told me in direct teaching, when I stood literally in the third heaven, Jesus said, because of not discerning the Lord's body, three things happen to my people. They grow physically weak, physically sick, and even they'll die before their time. See, many times Christians have a lot of beliefs that are not in this book. Well, you know, the Bible says everyone has their time. No, it doesn't. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, after that, the judgment. There is an appointment that nobody gets to live forever. You will die in this body, or you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible calls that the rapture of the church. How many of you wouldn't mind being changed in the twinkling of an eye? Somebody said, well, I don't know that I want to die. You won't. So I hope I get raptured and I won't die. Listen, you won't die. So what do you mean I won't die? The only people that experience death are the people that are left. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. When your body dies, that's when you'll start to live. Everybody around you will taste death. It's the sting of death. But go grave, where is your victory? Because how many of you know there's an eternity on the other side of this body? And so here Paul is writing to the church, and he says this to them. For this reason, many of you are weak, sick, and die prematurely. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. He said, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So what's the reason God would permit his judgment, if you will, to come on a person? So they would not be what? Condemned. So people hear judgment, and here's what they think. God's getting even. Judgment, the judgment of God isn't about getting even. That judgment was poured out on Jesus. But God's literally saying here that if God judges an individual, he said it's ultimately for his benefit that they not be condemned with the world. God's thinking in an eternal perspective for an individual. But you know, this is serious stuff. Therefore, my brethren, verse 33, when you come together to eat, he goes on just to give more instruction, but let's just stop right there, that you not be condemned with the world. Let's stop for a minute and talk about this teaching Jesus gave Paul. And it comes down to this issue, he said, because they don't discern my body and my blood, they grow weak, sick, and die prematurely. So I want to talk to you tonight about three areas in which every Christian should discern the Lord's body. And not discerning the Lord's body, I want to show you how it can affect you, how it can affect you physically, how I want to show you that discerning the Lord's body requires, it actually is a doorway into the healing power of God. The first thing discerning the Lord's body will help you to understand is that it gives you access to the throne of God. I'm talking to you tonight about communion. In a little bit, when we receive communion, and you break that wafer and eat it and drink that cup, here's what you're remembering. Here's what you're proclaiming. Here's what you're discerning. What was his body broken for? Well, let's start with this. Who was his body broken for? Say it out loud.
Me.
Now, do you realize what? Just say that again. Who was his body broken for? Do you know what that says when you really begin to believe that the body of the Son of God was broken for you? Do you know the communion is a time that it should so infuse an understanding of the love of God in you that he died for me? He said, every time you do this, you show forth the Lord's death till he returns. Every time you receive communion, you're shouting, he died for me. He so valued me that he died for me. Look what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Turn over there with me in Hebrews 10, and we're going to read verse 19 through verse 23. Hebrews 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, everybody say boldness, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast our confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. See, the book of Hebrews is allegorically teaching us about the throne of God and the Old Testament tabernacle. Between the outer and the inner court of the holy place, there was a veil or a curtain. How many of you remember when Jesus died on the cross? The Bible said that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. That's what he's referring to. Now, there were different pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. I don't have time to teach what those pieces of furniture were. But you're familiar with the Ark of the Covenant. That was the one that was in the holiest of all. That was behind the curtain. The Bible says that curtain represented his body. That's why when the angel came, when Jesus died on the cross, he tore the curtain from top to bottom. He was actually showing that the body of Christ was being broken. And as long as that veil remained, the way into the holiest of all was not yet made known to men. We didn't have access to the presence of God. When you receive communion, you're declaring, I have access through his broken body into the throne of God. Amen. Now listen to that. See, communion, people say, why don't we do communion every weekend? Or every day have a special service for communion? Because you take the sacredness out of it often when it's just over and over and over again. We need to have an understanding that when I'm receiving communion, I'm discerning why his body was broken for me. I'm discerning why his blood was spilled for me. His body was broken so that the way into the presence of God could be made real and known to me. Look what he goes on to say in Hebrews chapter, go back to Hebrews 4. You can hold your place there. We're going to jump right back to Hebrews 11. But if you'll go back to Hebrews 4, and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come how? Boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The first thing you should recognize when you receive communion is the way into the presence of God, the access to come boldly. How can you come boldly? Because, I mean, to the throne of God, me, imperfect me, you come boldly because the blood that was spilled for you, his broken body's made and given you access, made you a new creation in Christ. A new creature, a new species of being that never before existed. Access into the throne of God, listen, whereby you might obtain grace to help you. When? In a time of need. Well, that's when you need help. But people never feel like they have access to God when they're in trouble. It's the least spiritual time of your life. Anybody ever been in trouble? How about self-imposed trouble? You ever have any of that? You can have trouble and you can cause some of it. He doesn't matter how you got into trouble. He said, come boldly. Yes. Communion is a time where you say, I esteem the broken body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, more than my past. When you don't come boldly to the throne of God, do you know what you're saying? That your sin is greater than his mercy. When you say, well, I just don't feel like God loves me anymore, you're proclaiming that it wasn't enough to make you right with God. You're proclaiming that access doesn't exist for you. Do you see how we think we're being humble and we're really being so dishonoring of God? Not only dishonoring, we're full of pride. But we say it's humble. Well, I wouldn't want to suggest that I could just jump in the presence of God. You don't have to suggest it. The Bible commands it. Amen. And yet people, their whole Christian life, will say, oh, Lord, I come to you, and I know I'm not worthy to come. But, Lord, oh, Lord, if you'll just, oh, Jesus, let some crumbs fall from the table. Lord, the crumbs are enough. Lord, don't need all my needs met. Lord, you take half my burdens. I'll carry the other half, Jesus. That all sounds humble, but is so full of unbelief and so dishonoring to God. That's why I said, cast all of your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. He said, didn't cast all your care upon him because God will be mad at you if you don't. He said, cast all your care upon him because he cares about you. Most Christians don't believe that. Communion is a time when you recognize the very throne of Almighty God is open to you. Communion, secondly, is a time when you recognize that you are a part of the body of Christ. That when you gave your life to Jesus, you were engrafted into the kingdom of God. You were adopted into the kingdom of God. You were born into the kingdom of God, and you became a part of the very body of Christ. He being the head, we being the body. We being members, the Bible says, one of another. Let me just read some scriptures to you quickly. Hebrews, look at Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse 24 now. This is picking up right where we left off. He said, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see that day approaching. That's the day of his return. He said, when you see my return approaching, he said, get together more, not less. Now you'll hear Christians say this, and I'm not being critical of anybody, but you'll hear them say it nonetheless. Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm just, you know, I just don't like the organized church. And I know what people, sometimes people have had bad experiences, and I know why they may say that. But that is so beyond biblically ignorant, I don't even have language for it. It's like my kneecap saying, I'm a great kneecap. I just don't want to be a part of your body anymore. And so you pop my kneecap off and put it in a bowl. Kneecap is worthless in the bowl. And what had a function in the context of the body now becomes an eyesore. And I've used this before, but it bears repetition. You've seen people with beautiful eyes. They're only beautiful in the context of the head. Wrap those rascals out of the head, pop them out, stick them in a plate and say, look how pretty his eyes are. Only in the context of the body can the eye see. Can the knee work? Can the elbow work? We are members one of another, the scripture said. And he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Do you know that in these days in which we live, the habits of Christians coming to church with any regularity has gotten, when I say it's gotten, it's changed. I don't even know how to overemphasize it. Now, when I was a young Christian, used to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. How many of you remember that? How many of you never went to church when you had three services a week? Okay, well, that's just the way it was. And the average, now I have to tell you, I'm just being honest with you. I was a Sunday night, Wednesday night Christian when I got saved. I went after God with everything I had because I was messed up with everything I had, so I went after Jesus with everything I had. And I'm just being honest with you. I remember being 24, 25 years old and you know, in church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And then Sunday morning, I'd see the church, you know, full of other people. And I'd almost wonder, I said, I wonder if those other people are even Christians. I wasn't being condemning, I just wondered. But they came probably 50 weeks out of the year. The average Christian today, now this is not critical, it's just the truth. They come to church maybe once a month. They forsake the assembling of themselves together. Communion is a time when you say, we are members one of another. I discern the Lord's body. Now, what happens when you don't discern the Lord's body? What did he say? You grow weak, sick, die prematurely. You mean not coming to church can cost me my life? Yes, it can. You say, oh my goodness, are you trying to scare people to go to church? No. Trying to teach you what it means to discern the Lord's body. There is a life flow, a life force, if you will. In fact, let me read it to you in the scripture. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. The Bible says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So we all have different gifts, different graces, different functions, but we're members of one another. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, which of course follows the communion teaching. For as the body is one, it has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We have been all made to drink of one Spirit, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Look at verse 27 of the same chapter. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body of Christ. There is a grace, the Bible said, that has been distributed to you to function in the context of the church. Every Christian should be committed to a local church. Every Christian should be connected and serving and embedded into a local church. Doesn't have to be this one. It is an outward recognition of the body of Christ. Now listen, because there is a grace deposit on your life to function in that context. You understand the Bible was not written, in this case, Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, was not written to Joe Smith at the church of Corinth or Mary Smith. It was written to the church. Now these have individual application, but they're written to the whole church. There is a power, there is a grace, if you will, there is a divine enablement that flows through the operation of the local church that when you are in your part, that life force, if you will, flows right through you. It is the absence of that life that will cause you to grow weak, sick, and die prematurely. That's not up to God. He said, you judge yourself. He said, for example, if you heard somebody that you loved was in an accident and their arm was severed, but it was a clean severing. And they said, and they went back to the scene of the accident and the paramedics picked up the arm and they went and there's a microsurgeon and they're going to reattach that arm. Here's what they're going to tell you. Time is of the essence. Because if we don't get blood back into that tissue, it's going to die. If we don't reconnect the nerves, it won't have you. And to the extent they can reconnect that arm, if it was severed at the wrist or at the forearm, to the extent what they can reconnect is to the extent you'll regain use of that hand. When you do not discern the Lord's body, that's why the things we do here, you won't necessarily find growth track in the Bible. How many of you know you won't find growth track in third growth track, verse 5? But growth track is a way for you to discern the Lord's body. So, well, you know, I don't have time to go to 101. It's like my eyeball saying, I don't have time to be in my head. Being a member of a church, it's not some ritual. It is you recognizing, listen, it is you discerning the Lord's body. That's what it is. And when you discern your part in the body, see, let's flip it. If not discerning the Lord's body caused you to be weak, sick, and die prematurely, what will happen when you do discern the Lord's body? You'll be what? Strong and well and live long. There is a strength, there is a healing virtue that occurs simply by being a part of a functioning local church and flowing in the grace that's on your life. That's why we tell people it isn't just enough to come here, show up, sit in a pew or chair or whatever and go home. It is about you finding your place, finding your grace. That's what 301's all about. Our 301 class helps you to discover your grace. 401 is the opportunity to discover where your grace can work. And I've had people for years say things like, well, I'm just not ready yet. You mean you're not ready to be strong and well and live long? What are you ready for? Weak, sick, and die prematurely? So you're saying God's going to kill me if I don't go to church? It's not what I said at all. Okay, let me ask you this. If God said to you, don't run up in front of an 18-wheeler going 70 miles an hour and jump in front of it, how many of you would say that's good advice? And if he said, for this cause, many are dead. And they had to, they just had to pick up parts. And so God's saying, don't jump up in front of the truck. And somebody jumped up in front of the truck and they say, look what God did to that person. Wouldn't you say, God just told you don't jump up in front of the truck. He said, for this cause. Do you know there are people that would be married today if they just were connected to their local church? Do you know that their marriage would have survived had they just been to church and let the word of God flow through that local church into their life and they humble them? Do you know how many kids today would be in different conditions in their life? These things matter. Communion is when you discern the Lord's body. He said, discerning the Lord's body. So you're discerning access to the presence of God. You're discerning, I'm a part of the body of Christ. That's why we have small groups here. Small groups aren't in the Bible. But it is one way for you. You say, what if I'm not in a small group? Then I will tell you this. If you are serving in somewhere in this church and you are embedded in a ministry and you are giving yourself and your time to it, that's kind of a small group by itself. But we're giving you all these biblical avenues by which you can discern the Lord's body. Communion is a time when you judge yourself and say, hey, am I doing this stuff? He said, and God says, what if you're not doing it? He said, well, just judge yourself. Just say, well, that's not, I need to change that. Well, I have to change it. If I said to you, here's what you have to do, grow strong, well, and live long. You'd say, well, that's okay, I'm up for that. Do you see how Christians take the goodness of God and they flip it and make it judgmental and critical, like God's ready to just take you out, like a mafia hitman? Communion, when we receive communion here in a minute, here's what you're saying. Oh, I have access to the throne of God to receive grace to help in my time of need. No matter how messed up my mama, daddy was, no matter how messed up my family was, no matter how messed up I've been, Jesus died for me, loves me, gives me access to his presence. I can receive grace to help. Amen. He said, Lord, I thank you. I've discerned your body. Lord, I thank you. I'm so thankful for this, for my church. My church isn't perfect. That's because you're in it. I've had people, Pastor, I just want you to know that I have issues with our church. But no, they never say it that way. I have issues with your church. You don't get to have issues with my body. You can have issues with your body. It's if you say I have issues with our church, that's different. But it's easy to be critical, isn't it? But how about this? I have issues with our church. Okay, how are you going to make it better? Well, it's just my job to tell you. No, it's not. What do I look like? God? I'm not God. You tell me something's bothering you, and you just told me you want to fix it. I think we need a ministry to do. I said, oh, awesome. When you want to start? Well, I don't feel led to do it. Yes, you do. You just told me it's important. Now touch this chunk of lead in my hand. Feel led and get busy. People that don't serve in the kingdom are not discerning the Lord's body, because the head of the church put a grace on you to serve. The third thing I want to talk to you about discerning the Lord's body, we're going to receive communion. We're going to worship a little bit. We're going to wait on the Holy Spirit. We're going to believe God for his healing and miracle power to sweep this room tonight. How many of you want to believe God with me for that? That's what I know in my heart we want to do with communion tonight. Do you know that when you discern the Lord's body, you are discerning that Jesus was your substitute? He was your sickness substitute. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. It said, Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. How many of you are glad he bore your sins? Christians have no problem with that part of redemption. Who himself bore our own sins in his own body on the tree, that we being, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Everybody say were. Notice he didn't say you'd get healed when you asked God and met all the conditions. He said by whose stripes you were. When Jesus was striped on his back, he was purchasing your healing. Discerning the Lord's body is discerning that he was striped for your healing. That means spiritual healing. There is no such thing as spiritual healing. It doesn't exist. There is emotional healing. There is no such thing as getting your spirit healed. Your spirit is either dead in sin or alive to God. It doesn't, when you came to Jesus, he didn't heal your spirit. You made brand new spirit, baby. You got born again, a new creature that never existed before. He didn't heal your spirit. It's like combing a donkey and trying to get him to run with racehorses. He's still a donkey. God didn't heal your spirit. There's no such thing as spiritual healing. It doesn't exist. There's either dead spiritually or alive spiritually. And the only way you jump that wagon is to be born again by the Spirit of God. With his stripes, you were healed. Look at Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmity and bore our sicknesses. Jesus bore my disease. Now, when I receive communion, I humble myself. But I know somebody, communion is a time when I discern his body, not somebody's view, not what grandma taught or what someone experienced. I humble myself. And I said, Lord, I don't care what I've experienced. I don't care what I've seen and what I haven't seen. You bore my sickness. You carried my disease. I humble myself in your presence and say, you died for my healing. And I receive it. And now, for this cause, many are weak, sick, and die prematurely. Well, it makes perfect sense. If you don't discern his body was broken for your healing, you don't discern that aspect of the Lord's body. I mean, that's just 1 + 1 = 2. It makes perfect sense why you'd be weak, sick, and die prematurely. This is not the only reason these things happen to people. And by the way, I don't know all the reasons. But how many of you know the Bible says for this reason? That's an important one. How many think if Jesus taught Paul specifically and said, Paul, you go tell the church for this reason, the people that I died for are weak physically, sick, and they'll even die young. How many of you think that's a really important thing to know? And church, and there are Christians who write whole books to tell you how to just be sick and glorify God. Like somehow there's some virtue in being sick. You know there's no virtue in being sick. Nobody believes that. People might, you know, mutter that religious nonsense, but I've never met a person sick in my life didn't want to be well. Ever. And you all know it's the truth. When you get sick, you're not more holy, you're miserable. Is anybody married to a man? What happens to your husband when he gets sick? Turns into a 5-year-old. Right? Come on. I mean, Michelle, you know, she's cooking, cleaning, and I don't feel well. I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. Help me, baby. Oh, Michelle, do you need something, honey? Oh, okay. Come on. For this cause. Worship team, come on back up. Would you now set your heart in a place of humility? I don't care what you've experienced in your life. In the context of him. What disappointment you may have experienced, we're going to put him first. We're going to honor him more. We're going to put him first. Beyond human experience, beyond success and failure, that we're beyond sin in your past, beyond disappointment in your past, beyond somebody hurting your feelings or you hurting someone else. And we're about to say, Father, we have access to your divine presence by the blood of Jesus. I discern my part in the body of Christ. If you aren't serving somewhere, then when you hold that in your hand, you say, Father, I commit to find my place. And there's no stopwatch on, like 60 minutes. He's not counting you down to beating you up. It's you discern. Say, Lord, help me to take the next step in my life. help me when small groups come up next we call it our spring term. That's just very, very happy way. It's still in the winter, but we pretend and we call it spring term. Okay? Because it's ugly out when we start. We're done, it's in the spring. So we call it the spring term. So you get in a small group. Some of you are called by the head of the church to lead a small group, to lead a life group. You say, well, I don't know if I should. Remember, pop the eyeball out. Well, it works in the head. You work best in the context of the body. It's not against you. It's not hurting you. It's helping you. Say it out loud. Honoring God helps me. It's simple. This is like simple stuff. So as the worship team, just as we prepare, I just want us to, and I'm not going to talk about the specifics of the body and the blood. We've done that. I'm going to ask you to stand with me and let's sing this song together. And when this song's over, I just want you to go ahead and take the elements out when this first song's over and the worship team just begins to lift their voice. I want you to go ahead and eat and drink. Then I want you to lift your hands to heaven. First, I want to pray over you before you receive communion. And look, it's very important. The only condition to receive communion is that you're a child of God. You've made Jesus the Savior of your life. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to do that right now. Would you bow your heads just quickly with a moment? I just want to take a moment. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you died tonight, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you, never forsake you, and you can receive communion. That's the only stipulation is to have made Jesus the Lord of your life. So is there anyone here you don't know Jesus as your Savior? Say, Pastor, pray for me right where I'm standing. I want to make Jesus my Savior. Lift your hand real high. Help me see it, and then I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. Hey, if you raised your hand or should have, just pray this out loud. We'll pray it together with you. And then we're going to sing this song and we're going to worship God. The end of the song is the worship team begins to lift their voice to worship God out of their hearts. You go ahead and receive communion and then you lift your voice and begin to thank God for giving you access to His presence. Thank God for making you a part of His body. Thank God for the healing power of God that's available to you. Father, I thank you. Now, if you raised your hand to make Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Lord of my life. He died on a cross to bear the debt and burden of my sin. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. In Jesus, I receive you now as the Lord of my life. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. I confess boldly, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.